Hello.
Hello.
Again, loud. My name is Leroy Allison. I'm 57 years old. Three girls, married, four stepkids, and a nice family, and thinking everything's going fine. Which it was. Well, I'll go back. I'll go back to my upbringing, then we'll go from there. I've been in this situation, been locked up before. Matter of fact, three times. And my dad used to always tell me, he said, I can talk to you till I'm blue in the face, but until you make up in your mind that you're done with this, ain't nothing I can do. And that always stuck with me. And did my last 9 months in 1992. Had my first child, and I think that's when I really became a man at age 32 when I had my first child. So now I can go on fast forward to now, to 2015. My daughter comes over to the house and celebrating her 17th birthday. She wanted to go with some friends to a bonfire right around the corner from where I grew up at. Sure, I don't see nothing wrong with it. So her and her girlfriends drive over there, probably left the house, wasn't gone no more than an hour. I'm laying in the bed with my wife watching TV. And the phone rang, her phone rang. My daughter been shot. I get emotional on this one. 17 years old, dead. Laid in the street. Two rival gangs just shooting. Out of about 50 kids, she was the one that got shot. Innocent bystander. Changed my life. I deal with that every day. It could have been a different situation for me if I didn't know the Lord. Because in that police car driving to the hospital, I asked the Lord for understanding. I don't know why I said understanding. I don't know why that came to me, but he gave me understanding. I never asked why. And at this point, I didn't know she was dead yet. I didn't know if she was dead till I got to the hospital. Get out there and they tell me she passed. She didn't make it. I got a hospital full of her friends, full of my family, you know, and people are upset. So I got to try to keep all of these people calm. And they asked me, you want me to go look for this person, go look for that person? I'm saying, no, that wouldn't do nothing. And I know my daughter wouldn't want me to go looking to end up in jail, because it's usually the person that do the revenge is the one that get caught. So I just, you know, I said no to everybody that came up to me. I said, no, just leave it alone. As hurt as I was, if I didn't know the Lord the way that I did, my upbringing in church could have been a whole nother outcome. I would not be standing here today. And my cry to, not to take nothing away from women, but to men, we have to take our rightful positions in this world today. We have to show these young men what it takes to be a man, what it takes to be able to walk away. You don't always have to be the toughest person there. You don't have to carry a gun. You don't have to do all of this. And when these kids see it, they already see it on TV. They see it in these videos, which we know is not true. But if they don't and if we don't embrace them when we see them, talk to them, it can be a nephew, it can be a brother, if we don't let them know what it takes to be a man, we're going to lose a whole generation of young men to violence and stupidity. Because my daughter died for no reason. Whatever the reason is, he hasn't told me yet, but it's coming. But men, we have to get to these young men. We have to let them know that it's not worth it at the end of the day. I don't care what amount of money, what somebody done said to you, what somebody done to you. You got to be able to use your head, because it takes a minute to get into something and a lifetime to get out of it. Amen. And like I said, look at the penitentiaries today. Nothing but a bunch of young men. Then they have kids, and these kids out here with no fathers, and the cycle continues. So it takes the older generation, the men in this room, the men wherever, when you see these young kids, we have to pull them to the side and just talk to them for a couple minutes, get them to understand. If you see them doing something wrong, it's all about how you approach them. A lot of people say, oh, I'm not messing with them. They done for this and that. No, they're not. Because we thought like that, would none of us be here. We all deserve a second chance, sometimes three. But like I said, my message is to the men, wherever you at in your life, if you have a young person in your family that you talk to on a daily basis, you have to get them to understand that there's another way. If not, you'll be seeing them either in the penitentiary or in the grave. It's only one of the two things that's going to happen out here in the street. It ain't three. It's two. Jail or death, if you stay out there in it. The way that these young kids glorify the videos, we up against it. Sure, it's like I said, we up against it. We got videos. We got all this different stuff that's corrupting their mind, and then you come and tell them that there's another way. I know they don't want to hear it. That's why you got to constantly do it. But don't badger them. Don't beat them down with it. Just talk to them. They'll listen. And if you doing the right thing and they love you and look up to you, I guarantee you they will change. Because I didn't think I would. But my dad stayed on me. Even though I messed up a couple times, three times, he stayed on me. And that's why I'm standing here today. And I believe that's my calling, because, like I said, I wouldn't be wanting to. I'd be at home somewhere. But the Lord said, no, you got to get up. You got to talk to me, and you got to talk to people to let them know it's another way. You ain't got to have all the bling, as they say, the big cars, all the money to have a happy life. You got to help somebody. It's people that need help. It's people that's hurting. And if you can do that in the course of your day, I can sleep well once I do that. I can sleep well. And I get that from that man right there. I don't know. I mean, the Lord has done a job on that man there, but listening to him and the times that I've been around him and watch how giving he is. And money don't mean nothing, really. Because at the end of the day, we all going in that same hole. That same hole. So, like I said, to the men, women, I love y'all. Y'all the mothers of these babies. And I just, you know, I know how y'all feel, but it's the men. The men. And I'm not, you know, black, white, it doesn't matter. If you consider yourself a man and you got young men in your family, or you know, you need to embrace them. I mean, call them, talk to them. You have to embrace them because they're up against it. And a lot of them don't have no man at home. So they just running wild. So my like I said, my position is to the men in this room that hear my voice. If you got a young man in your family, embrace him, regardless of what he's into. Because he might be calling out for that embracing, and we just get so busy we don't pay it no attention. It don't take a lot of money to hang out with a kid these days. You can just go walking in the park or learn the video games that they play. But use that time to talk to them. That's all they want. That's really all that they want. I work at a center. I see it. That's all that they want is somebody just to talk to them. And to be real with them, let them know. That stuff is all on TV. You don't need that to succeed in this world. You don't need all the money. You don't need all of that stuff, which they think they do. You don't. They just need somebody to listen and somebody to talk to them. Like I said, my cry is to men. I said 1,000 times, if you have somebody in your family, embrace them all the time. Take them out. Talk to them. Not give my number. I will. Because that's where it starts at. Because if you look at it and you look at the news, and that's all that's dying is our young men. If we're not dying, we're getting locked up for 70, 80 years at 18, 19 years old. Families are being destroyed. And it takes us men to stop it. God-fearing men to stop it. We have to. If not, like I said, we're going to lose a whole generation of our young men. They already want women to rule the world. So if they goes that way, then that's what's going to happen, because all of our men are going to be gone. We're going to be gone. And like I said, I love the ladies. Really, I do. But it's about the man here. We got to step up and be responsible. We have to be accountable for the kids that's underneath us. You know, I told Lyle I'd be able to talk for at least a half an hour, but that's it. You know, men, just be accountable. We have to. Like I said 1,000 times, if you have one in your family, 1, 2, 3 sons, embrace them. Please embrace them. And I'm gonna leave it at that. Yes. Yes.
Losing a daughter or a loved one, that's hard to imagine, losing a loved one, especially in a tragic way.
Yeah.
How come you didn't go back to getting high? Why didn't you go back to the streets, man? Because I think that might be enough to shake somebody and want to go back and get high. Why didn't you go back?
That one prayer in that police car, that understanding, that one, and like I said, I don't know for the life of me why I would ask for that, but I did. And he gave it to me just like that. He gave it to me. And by the time I got to that hospital, I was a different person. My whole outlook has changed. I wasn't mad. I wasn't concerned with myself at that time. I was concerned with everybody that I had to deal with at that hospital that was upset, that was trying to go do something crazy. I wasn't concerned with myself at that point. That one prayer.
Another question. What if you met that guy today?
I'm gonna tell you what happened. I'm gonna tell you what. And once they finally called, they called 3 guys, and we went down to the courthouse. And I seen the 3 guys come in, because you know I'm looking, and I noticed one of them just kept getting from one seat to the next, to the next, to the next. And he got in front of me. And my wife looked at me and I looked at her. And that young man turned around and held his hand out to me. And I shook his hand. And he turned back around and he got up and he went to another seat. So I met one of them, but I couldn't say, can't nobody say what bullet killed my daughter. That's why I was nobody convicted of this crime. So my daughter will never get justice for her dying, because they was just shooting. So those 3 was originally charged, but they didn't have no witnesses to corroborate, so they had to let them go. So I have to live with that every day. And people ask me, how do I do it? And like I said, it sounds crazy, but it's like going to bed, waking up, you don't have your arm or you don't have your leg. You still got to navigate your way through this world with all the help in the world, but you don't have that arm and that leg. And you still got to do it. That's how it feels right now without my daughter. That's how it feels.
So what practical advice would you give a single mom who doesn't have a man to do what you're asking them to do?
She has a man. She has an uncle or somebody in her family within her voice to get to that young man. If not, just stay on him as a mother. Mother's done it. You can do it. Look, at my house, we ain't shut no doors. Everything that you come in that house with, I'm checking. Book bags, whatever it is. Some of these kids, you got to be on them like that. If you don't know what they into and you think they doing something like that, they come in your house, you got to police that. You have to. Like I said, these kids, they feel like they one step ahead, but no. We can get this back. We can get our kids back. We can.
I got one last question.
Yeah.
Of course, sir.
I was thinking as you were talking to these young men, the Bible says that God tells us as men, we are to be spiritual leaders of our households, of our family. And I take, as you were saying, not only over our household, but men that we can mentor us.
Yes.
Be an example of spiritual leader. Be an example.
Yep.
Maybe they'll see that.
Yep. And it can happen. When I go in the stores or wherever and I see them, they have their pants down, I just pull them over to the side. I have to. I just pull them to the side. Hey, man, pull your pants up till at least I leave the store. And I've never had one to say anything crazy to me. They'll pull them up. And like I said, it's all about how you approach them. If you approach them with respect, you're going to get respect. But, hey, man, pull your damn pants up. You ain't getting nowhere. You're not going to get nowhere. But if you do it with respect and love, I guarantee you, you'll get it.
When you got out of prison.
Yep.
When you didn't go back to the streets, what did you do to hold on to not get back to the dope, go back to the gangs and all that? What did you do? Because obviously in your life today, you're not living that way. So how did you hang on? Coming out of prison seems like it's impossible to hang on. It seems like it's impossible to be on the right track because of the guilt, the shame, and the pull of the streets. How did you hold on?
I'm trying to think how old. I'm 57 now. I don't even remember how old I was. It was my family more so than anybody, my mother and father. When I first came out, I didn't have a girlfriend or a woman. It was my parents. And like I said, my father, they would come and see me. And he would tell me, what are you doing? Because I could have been, not toot my own horn. I was a great football player, but I blew all of that for the streets. And sometimes I think about it, I don't have no regrets because I don't know what kind of, I probably would be an arrogant millionaire. So that's probably why that didn't happen. Because I'm a grounded man now with the means that I have. But it was my family. It was really my family. My mother and father, they didn't beat me down with things, but this is probably where I get it. They just threw their little jabs and left it at that and give you something to think about. And like I said, I can talk to you until I'm blue in the face, but until you make up in your mind this is not the life that you want for yourself, you're not going to change. It's all right there.
Those of us that would like to give our time to talk to the younger generation. You said you was a mentor yourself?
At the Ewell Wilson Center.
Yeah.
Over on Oxford Street, a great center. You know, I can direct you over there, but they have them all over the place. And when I go in there, I used to work there for 6-7 years, and I can go back there now. It's so many, you can sit and watch nothing but ladies come to pick up kids. You might have some men every now and then sprinkle, but nothing but ladies coming to pick up all these boys. All of these boys, all of these boys getting picked up by ladies. And you just wonder, where are the men? I know we got to work. We have to. But instead of hanging with your boys that we can do at any given time, go get your nephew. Go get your little brother. Go get your cousin. Hang out with that 15-year-old that really need to be, that really need to hear something. We kind of get selfish at times. He'll be all right. No, he won't. No, he won't. Because that particular day that you go get him might be the day that he was just getting ready to do something. That could be saving him right there. And we got a lot of them. We have, and like I said, a lot of times if we just talk, if we as men, if we just communicate with each other, we can find out that probably your nephew and your cousin hang together. They might be beefing, but knowing you and you, that'll stop it. But we don't talk. We too cool. We too hard. We don't even want to talk. We can't even talk to each other without me mugging. We got to let a lot of stuff go as men because they are looking at us and we failing. We failing.
So this may be obvious, but I'd like to hear it. You mentioned one of the things you want to tell young men is there's a different way. And then you talked about being grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, what is that different way? What does it mean to be grounded? What's kind of the vision that you want to provide for these young men?
Grounded for me is, I use what he's finding a wallet full of money and not even being tempted, not even counting it, taking it back to whatever. Always what the integrity is, doing the right thing when ain't nobody else watching. That's what we got to get these young men to understand. That's what I'm grounded on. That I don't read the Bible as much. I'm not a, you know, I don't claim to be, but I know he's in me. I go to church. I just started. Me and my wife went to church for the first time, and I don't know how long Sunday. So I'm not a scholar. I'm not a Bible scholar. You don't have to be. You just have to believe, and he'll direct everything else. He will direct everything else. I can't quote not one scripture of the Bible. Hey, I can't. And I got a nice Bible in my truck, but I can't quote nothing. But I know he's in me because I'm standing right here today. So you don't have to, you know, a lot of men use that as a, nope, you don't need that. It's good to have, but you don't need it. Because these kids don't want to hear that. So you got to get on their level when you talk to them. Like I said, you can throw your tidbits in there, but you got to get on their level and just actually watch them gradually grow. If that means, like I said, sitting there talking to them about this, about that, do that. Listening to they don't want to hear nothing about no Bible. It's just sad to say. They don't want to hear that. But to get their attention, you might have to listen to whatever they listen to. And then you say, okay, now listen to what I want to listen to. And they'll do it. That's my position on that.
Thank you.